whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Come on, get smart, tune up and start to whistle while you work.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. I'm Mike Maino, and glad to be your host as we today talk with people from the Women's Resource Center. And we have Lori DiPersio here today, the executive director. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you.
Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
And the development director, David McCurdy. Welcome, David.
Oh, well, thank you.
Nice to have you both with us. We're going to find out everything there is to know about the Women's Resource Center. First off, where does the Women's Resource Center hail out of?
Well, we have an office in Newport, and we also have an office in Warren. We actually serve Newport and Bristol counties, so there are 9 cities and towns that we provide services to victims of domestic violence.
Okay. And as executive director, how long have you been in that capacity?
Believe it or not, it will be 11 years in July, and I can't believe that.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty good for a 25-year-old.
Right? Thank you.
That's the way that works. That's great. That's very nice. 11 years. Mm-hmm. And is that how old the organization is, or is it older than that?
No, they actually were started in 1977, and they had about 3 women that got together and decided that they were getting people that were coming up to them on the street and just talking about things that are happening at home, and mm-hmm. not just about domestic violence, but just in women's issues, just in general. So they decided to put a hotline together, and they had people starting to call, but most of the calls started becoming more about domestic violence.
I see.
And so they just continued that, and then they formed the Women's Resource Center at that time.
Okay. David, as far as development director, what does the development director do?
Well, I'm the guy that finds money for the resource center. I'm out there shaking hands and looking for folks who are willing to donate, and potential sponsors for events, setting up events. And so it's an overall kind of process of just trying to support the organization financially.
And about how long have you been with the group?
I'm a new guy.
The new guy?
Yeah, I'm just about a month in right now.
Oh, so you get to clean the coffee cups and all that stuff.
Gets to pick up the boss.
And carry the books. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
And so what is your background, David, and what brought you to this?
Well, what's funny about that is for the past 10 years, I've been working, actually 8 years, as the executive director of the Rose Island Lighthouse Foundation.
Okay.
Which is a lighthouse out in Narragansett Bay, and I was kind of in charge of everything. And one of the things that I was constantly doing was fundraising and mm-hmm. doing events. And so this was a natural just progression and to move into the Women's Resource Center.
Excellent. All right. And back to you, Lori. When your background, was that something that, you know, you've always wanted to be in as far as getting into this kind of work, or were you... Did you go to school for this, or just naturally fell into it?
Well, it's funny. I actually started my career in the YMCA after I graduated and mm-hmm. from college. And I was in that position, aquatic director, for 5 years. And I went back to graduate school, went to Syracuse. Yay, Syracuse. After I got out of there, I started working at the American Lung Association, and have been in nonprofit management and just kind of worked my way up through the system, and have been actually in nonprofit management for over 35 years.
Okay. Well, that's probably enough about both of you as far as your background. Let's get to the nitty-gritty of what's going on. You have a major event coming up that we certainly want to talk about several times, but let's start off with that. David, what's the event coming up soon?
It's called Men Who Make a Difference. It's April 29th. And what we're doing is honoring 13 individuals who are men in the community that make a difference doing very special things.
Okay. And Lori, how do you pick these men? I didn't get a call.
Oh, I'm sorry. We'll put you on the list for next year.
Okay. Next year.
But we actually have a development committee that works with our agency, and we ask them to help us identify men that they know that are doing good work in the community, as well as asking our board members and our staff, because our staff are out on, they're in the field all the time, and they know people that they do look up to and know that they're doing great work. And so we vet them through a process, and then we ask mm-hmm. them, not, we ask them if we can honor them. And then when they say yes, then we say, okay, we would like you to wear a tuxedo. We also would like you to wait on your table and get tips.
Well, there you go. So, that's a good way to raise money.
It is. And then we say, oh, and by the way, we'd like you to fill your tables.
Bring your friends.
With your favorite friends and family members. So.
And sell them tickets.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, that is a nice honor, though. And as far as, men that make a difference in the community, this isn't specifically about domestic violence, obviously.
Correct. So the whole purpose of having this event start years ago was to, the Women's Resource Center was really focused around helping women. Our board was full of women. Our staff was all women. And we got to a place where we realized that we need men to help us with our work. We need men to engage with us to help end domestic violence, because we know, unfortunately, only 95%, not only 95% of the men in our world are good men. There's the 5% that are abusers, and we needed those 95% of men mm-hmm. to help us stand up against violence against women.
Okay, and violence against women, as well as in your organization, you talk about violence against men too.
Correct,
to a certain point, mm-hmm. much smaller amount, I would imagine.
It is. It's 1 in 7 men are actually considered victims of domestic violence, and 1 in 4 women.
Wow, those numbers are staggering. Mm-hmm. Okay, the office, you mentioned your office is in Newport at on Truro Street. Can people just walk in and ask questions or get help? Or
absolutely. So we call, when people do walk into the office, we call them considered their drop-ins. And we have staff that will work with them and try to listen to them, figure out what they need, and then make sure that the resources that they need, we refer them to, mostly into the community. However, if they need shelter, we would then connect them with our shelter person. If they needed court assistance, say, for example, there was an arrest made and they have to go to court the next day, if it's on a weekday, they would go to court and they would meet with our court advocate, who would help them navigate the court system, because it's a very complex system. And no. Very frightening.
Right. I'm sure for someone that's already in a traumatic situation, then right. they have to go through another traumatic situation.
Right.
Are your people attorneys, actual lawyers that are involved there, or
no.
They direct them?
Right. Their court advocates are people that generally have a bachelor's degree and have gone through a lot of training to be an advocate in the court system, because a lot of it is about gaining the trust of the actual judge that's sitting on the bench. Mm-hmm. And so they are able to stand alongside the victim when they are addressing the judge at court. And so we have law students that come from Roger Williams Law School, and they intern with us at our program.
Oh,
so
great.
It's an opportunity for them to be in the courtroom and actually in seeing cases. So that's a great source of people for us.
Excellent. David, why don't we give people at this time, we'll do it a couple times, the website and phone number information. If they have questions, they can jot that down, and then we can get back to it again.
Sure. Well, if you want to go onto our website, it's wrcnbc.org. That's the Women's Resource Center website. And if you want to make a phone call, you can call our Newport office. It is 401-846-5263.
And there's a hotline number also, right?
There's a hotline number,
and that's
yes.
An 800 number? I have it here, 494-8100. So all of those work, right? All those things work. And just to kind of spell out the website, it's WRC for Women's Resource Center, and then NBC, I presume, for Newport Bristol County. org, right?
Whenever I say that on the phone, I always say, like the network?
Right. Or in my case, a lot of people know I'm associated with the Narragansett Bay Chorus, so that works too. So there you go. All right. Now, getting back to what the organization actually does, you open all the time? Is this something, those numbers, are those things that people can call anytime, day and night? Or
They are. We are not open 24/7 at the office. We do have a hotline
right,
that
right.
they can call, and they have a person on the other end that will, if they need housing, for emergency housing, for example, they will then talk to one of our shelter advocates to see if we can get them into the shelter that night. If it's that dire of an emergency. Correct.
Right.
Correct. Oftentimes today, because of the number of laws that have been put in place to support victims of domestic violence and protect them, oftentimes that doesn't happen as often as it used to. So most of the work that we do with the client is really, it's a planned leave, so that we talk to them about what are you going to need when you leave. For example, if you have children, you need to make sure you have birth certificates with you. If they are on any medication or you're on medication, to make sure you have that available. We talk about computer safety, cell phone safety, because we need to make sure that the GPS is taken off, for example. So we do a lot of safety planning with them, and then we work with them and schedule an actual time that we would meet them at a local police department and bring them to our shelter.
Okay, so cell phone GPS signal is a problem.
It is.
Who would think of that? Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of people in that situation would not, and that's why it's good to have you around to think of those things. David, one question as far as you being the man in the office, are there others?
I'm actually the only man in the office.
The only man in the office.
We've had others.
They have. But I must say, since this is one of the best places I've ever worked, the people are amazing, and it's really clear that they're committed to what they do, and they're very just sincere people. So it makes it very, very comfortable to be in this environment.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is. It is wonderful.
Well, this is a good spot to stop for a moment. We have some messages to give to our listeners, and we'll be back with more after these messages of the Women's Resource Center. We are back on Company Break. I'm Mike Maino, and today we're talking with the Women's Resource Center, and Lori and David have been explaining lots of things that are going on, but Lori, I just want to touch upon the counseling aspect of what you do, and tell us a little bit about that.
So we have a counseling program. We have a staff of 5 people that work with us, and they provide counseling services to victims of domestic violence and children who have witnessed. We know that most often women that are in this situation, and men, find themselves in a cycle of violence. So they, until they learn how to break that cycle, they're never going to get into a healthy relationship. So we really advocate that they go to counseling services and have somebody work with them on that, as well as the children. We know that 80% of children who witness domestic violence will become an abuser or will be abused. So we also try to help educate the children, and as they're growing up, to what is a healthy relationship? What does that look like? And so last year with counseling, we provided 1,498 counseling sessions to victims of domestic violence just in our area.
1,498 sessions?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, how many? Now you've got me a little bit baffled here. How many people are involved at your center? How many employees or volunteers are there, roughly?
So we have approximately 24 part-time and full-time staff, and then we also have resident consultants that are working with us on another project, which is called the HES Grant, Health Equity Zone. And it's a program that the health department has given us funds to help them do this program in the community. So it's a large staff, but it's a lot of them are part-time people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, you'd need a large staff if you're helping all those people. That's a staggering number of people that have gone through the counseling part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And is the state funding you for the most part?
We have not so much the state, but the federal government.
Federal government,
right?
Okay.
But between the state and the federal government, we are funded at about 68% of our funds. Then the rest of it, David has to do.
David has to give that out of his pocket.
No, he just has to go raise that money.
that's exactly.
But you know, talking about raising items, we did touch on the gala coming up, and it's going to be on the date of the gala. See, I've already forgotten.
April 29th.
Okay, just about 3 weeks or so down the road.
Yep.
And you're looking for auction items that'll help at that event, right? If some business is listening or people are listening and have a pair of Red Sox tickets or a signed Ted Williams baseball card.
Anything. Any item that they believe might be a valuable item that we could auction off in a silent or even a live auction item. We're going to do a few large items.
Okay, that's great.
Beautiful charter on a classic.
We need to get some of the celebrities to listen to our program to call in and volunteer. We'll get Taylor Swift.
Absolutely.
She should help out.
Some backstage passes, that kind of thing.
I know a lot of people. You'd be surprised. Taylor Swift does listen to the station. She could be listening right now.
Oh, that'd be great.
So you never know what can happen. But the auction items are going to help out. So if you're there listening and you'd like to do your little part, that would be a good way to get involved. And you have other events coming up. Here's one that intrigued me a little bit. During the commercial break, I heard the term wild women. Now, who wants to take that?
Well, I'll tell you how come we do an event called Wild Women. It happened for years. The board kept saying to me, why can't we invite women to be at the Men Who Make a Difference event? And I would always say back, because our board, boards turn over, so you're always constantly updating them and teaching them. And I said to them, well, the purpose of this event really is to bring men into our work and help them engage. And women are constantly waiting on us all the time. And if you all of a sudden put men and women waiting on tables, we just thought that we wanted to keep it nice and clean. Let's have the men do their event. And so let's do an event for women. And we thought, well, what can we do that would be kind of interesting? And I actually stole this event from the South County agency. There is a domestic violence agency in South County. And they did a Wild Women luncheon, and I went to it. And it was just so much fun. So it's a luncheon, and we invite women.
This is the part I've been waiting for.
It's a luncheon where we ask women again if we can honor them, and then we ask them to fill their table. And we have a speaker that usually comes in, and it's just a luncheon. It's 2 hours, and it's just another way of engaging people in our work.
But what do the women do that makes it a Wild Women event?
Oh, so they also do good work in the community. So it's the same type of, what we're looking for is the same type of person that's doing good work. Mm-hmm. It may not be with the Women's Resource Center, but they're doing good work in the community, and we just want to honor them as well. So much of our work on these events is really trying to engage more people in our work to know what we do and why we do it.
Okay, but you're still giving me the serious answer, and I'm looking for how Wild Women came about. Do they wear unusual things?
They do, yes.
See, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty. This is what our listeners want.
Yes, oftentimes, it depends on the person. Sometimes they're just very, they wear their business suit, for example, if they're coming from work. But then we have women who really take it seriously, and they want to be a Wild Woman.
Okay.
And so they might come in with the colored socks or the funny outfit. We had Victoria last year came in, and she brought in her tops of her golf clubs were socks. Mm-hmm. And she just wanted to show everybody that she had these fun socks for her covers for her golf clubs. And so people do funny things.
They can do whatever they want. Their imagination won't run wild.
That's absolutely right.
All right. And for those attending, their imagination can run wild before they get there.
Exactly.
As to what they're going to see. Okay. David, let's get back to phone numbers and statistics with the website and so forth, so people can jot it down one more time.
Sure. The Women's Resource Center website is wrcmbc.org. And the phone number is 401-846-5263.
I was going to say that's for the Newport office, right? That phone number.
It is, yes. That's our main office number.
Okay.
But you can also try the Bristol County. It's 401-247-9257.
All right. And the hotline that I mentioned earlier was 800-494-8100. 800-494-8100. And that's the hotline number if you know someone or you're in the situation where you've got to get through right away. And so the Wild Women event is going to be June 16th. That's another event to write down, put on your calendar, and let your imagination go. Let's get back to some of the nitty-gritty about what happens at the center. We talked about the number of people involved And that was counseling. Besides that, what other kind of statistics would the center tout as far as people that have been helped?
So last year, our agency actually saw 1,302 individuals that came in for service. And each person generally uses about 3 services. So that's what we did with them. And then we had 2,260 bed nights at our shelter last year as well. So that's, we count the number of bed nights because that's the way the grants want information back. So
now, can I stop you there? When you say at your shelter, is the shelter actually there on this, in this location, as the same as the office, or
it is not? It's actually at a confidential location.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. All right, so that's shelter nights, and that's how people keep track, just the way they do in the hotel industry. They talk about room nights and so forth and so on. Okay, and what else is on your list there of people that you've helped?
Well, we are. Court program last year saw almost 600 people come through the program. So everyone's working very, very hard, as you can imagine, and we have limited staff, and we just do the best we can as we go through this. We recognize that we need more funding so we can have more staff, because all our programs and services are free and confidential.
Okay. Lori, let's change gears just a little bit here and explain to me. I know that domestic violence is normally the kind of thing that the general public probably thinks of as physical, and someone smacking someone, if you will. But there's lots of different kinds, correct?
There are. That's a great question, because a lot of people don't think that they're in an abusive relationship. Sometimes people are controlled by their partner. For example, they control their money. They control who they talk to. They often cut off their ability to talk with family. So there's that emotional type of abuse. They can be always talking down to them, saying to them, "You're no good. Nobody likes you. You're lucky I like you, or I keep you." So those are all different forms of emotional abuse. There's just a lot of people that do think that it's physical, like they're getting hit, but it's not that. It's not always that way. And we have a lot of teens that are really don't, what they're seeing on television as a healthy relationship is not the case. They see a lot of commercials on TV, a lot of singers that are singing lyrics that are degrading to women. And we often talk to our teens that way, like, what are you actually listening to, your music? What are the different types of shows that you're watching on television? I won't name the ones that I think are not good, but in case they're sponsors of yours. But
I doubt that they would be. But you're pretty safe on this station, I think.
Yeah, so we try to educate the teens as to what is a healthy relationship. Parents need to know, for example, if your daughter is dating somebody and they're new into the relationship, if all of a sudden that they think that when they're texting them, "Where are you? What are you doing? Call me." At the beginning, everyone thinks, "Oh, that's love. You know, they love me." And then all of a sudden it becomes like, why aren't you answering the phone? Why aren't you telling me where you are? What are you doing? And it gets to a really bad place of them actually controlling where they are and what they're doing. And then all of a sudden the teen's like, "Oh no, I'm in a relationship and I don't think it's good." And what do? So we tell teens all the time, you need to go and talk to somebody that values your opinion and you trust them so that they will hear you. And then we want that adult to refer them to the Women's Resource Center so that then we can talk to the teen and work through that with them.
Now, they could make their own phone call, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes kids just don't want to call the Women's Resource Center.
Right.
One, because of the name, Women's Resource Center. It's a little vague, if you will. But we want the adult to help them make that call.
All right. And if someone happens to be listening and don't trust the adult, for example, or maybe the adult's the problem, they can call you directly.
Right. Yeah. So we also tell the teens to, if you feel something that's in your stomach, it just doesn't sit right, use your gut, because it's true.
All right. So that's a, so it's great, certainly great advice. And is there a way to prevent this from happening? Do you have some methods of, you know, making sure that this doesn't occur?
So the Center of CDC, mm-hmm. They are putting a lot of funds into the communities for us to do work locally. So it goes through CDC down to the health department and the state, and then the state has actually put some funds together to help us go out and learn where, not to learn, but to work in areas that there are health disparities. And we know that if we can help identify those areas and help people that are living in those areas understand what some of those might be, we know that we will also lower violence and domestic violence in that community. So, for example, the area that we're working in right now is the North End and Off-Broadway in Newport. We got some large funding to go into that area and really identify what are the needs in that area. So this past year, we've done some surveys and assessments, and we learned that some of the problems that they have is food access. That's a huge one in the North End of Newport. And the reason why is because there's not good transportation there, or there might be, but it doesn't run at the right times for them. So we also found that they want to be healthier. And so trying to find places that they can walk or go to the park. And so we are actually working in a collaborative of six other agencies in Newport to help really identify some of the transportation problems, some of the food access problems, some of the physical and emotional problems. And so it's been a great opportunity for us to really go in and make some changes in that end of Newport.
Well, that's a whole area I never would have thought of, and I'm sure most people don't think of that. So that's another great thing. And another mm-hmm. great thing that people can help with, we're getting down towards the end of the program, and I want to make sure that we give enough coverage to the fact that the big event coming up, David, one more time with time and place.
Sure. It's coming up this April 29th, and it's at the Hyatt Regency in Goat Island in Newport. And it's going to be really exciting. We've got a lot of people coming, and hopefully a lot of honorees that we want to talk about, too, if I could give you a little bit about them.
Sure, why don't we run through some names?
Sure. We have people of all walks of life coming to be honored, and they've all had different experiences in the community. The first person I want to talk about is Chuck Hallett. He's the executive director of the Quidnick Island Land Trust. Jose Canario, he's the chief of police from Bristol, Rhode Island. David Enstone, he's the sales manager from Will and Ravy's Real Estate. Alexis Garcia is the bilingual case manager for the Providence Center. Mike Hudson, he's the executive vice president of Blue Cross Blue Shield. Mike Looney is the assistant director of the Rhode Island Interscholastic League. Ray Malone is a cybersecurity professional and a double Dutch coach. Daniel J. McKee is a lieutenant governor for the state of Rhode Island. Mark Reinhardt is a program director for North American Family Institute. Steve Robinson is a pastor at the Cross Point Church. John B. Rogers is the owner and president of JBR Company, Inc. Angel Tavares, a lot of people know, the former Providence mayor. And Michael Yelenoski, he's the dean of Roger Williams School of Law.
Wow, that's quite a list of important and good men. That's mm-hmm. a good thing.
It is.
So we want to make sure that you get out to support the Women's Resource Center. And if you have any questions, call the phone number or go online. The website is very easy to remember. It's wrcnbc.org. And if you want to call the phone number, you can call the office in Newport at 401-846-5263. David, I want to thank you for being here today.
You gave me
a lot of information. And Lori, a lot of things I didn't know that I learned today, and hope our audience did too.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you with us. And for the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Company Break.
Whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start riding to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Come on, get smart. Tune up and start to whistle while you work.